Hi, I'm Rich.
Now I'm Jimmy.
And you're listening to
Rich and Jimmy Watch a Film.
Yes, you are, you lucky, lucky people.
Ah, welcome back. Good to be back with you again, back in your ears or on your screens, however you're consuming this content.
Yeah, well, the YouTube channel is lighting up.
Yeah, setting the world on fire, I believe, was the exact phrase you used.
Yeah, yeah, like at least 30 views, so calm down, world.
There'll be more. You'll get plenty more. Don't worry. Plenty more content.
So here we go again with another lovely episode. What film are we watching today, Jimmy?
Today we're watching The Life of Brian by one Monty Python.
One Monty Python? Which one?
All of them. All of those very, very, very funny men.
Do you feel nostalgic about Monty Python, Jimmy? I know you're from Australia. Was it a thing over in Australia?
Oh, yeah. My mum was a huge Monty Python fan, so from a really young age got me into it. And I would definitely say that a lot of my sense of humour today owes so much to them. And, like, The Simpsons, South Park, Monty Python, those three things, massive, massive influences for me. Like, maybe not so much Life of Brian. I would say I know Life of Brian the least out of, say, like, Meaning of Life, Holy Grail, all those sorts of things, and like Flying Circus and stuff. I probably know this one the least, but I do like it. I do like it as a film. It was the last one I saw of their stuff, but it's very good.
I can't remember the last time I watched a Monty Python film, and I remember Monty Python being something that you had to revere growing up. I mean, I got 10 years on you, Jimmy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I was growing up, the comedy was very much the old school, the Ronnie Barkers, Two Ronnies, you know.
Yep.
Makes me sound so old. Hey, I'm not that old, come on. In my 40s, but yeah, this the proper old school, what was British humour.
Like inoffensive and very just like, you know, classic joke sort of thing.
Well, you say inoffensive, but actually some of it was incredibly offensive in today's world.
Yes, oh, sorry, of the time inoffensive and family friendly. Yeah.
Fawlty Towers, were you a fan of Fawlty Towers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, big fan. Oh, my sister and her husband absolutely fucking love that show.
So it's good to know that that translates to, it's not just British humour, but then...
No. I think, like, there's some things in there that are quite niche, but then it's so absurd that just translates anyway, because, like the Ministry of Silly Walks and things like that. Like, those sorts of sketches where they're really taking pot shots at, like, you know, the regimentation of, like, the British government and bureaucracy and things like that. And then, but then just going so fucking stupid with it. That translates to anything. So, yeah.
I suppose, and I don't, you know, Ministry of Silly Walks, as an example, you know, it's just silly. Like, silly translates.
Exactly.
It's I don't want to say it's not clever humour, because it's so clever.
Yeah.
But it's just silly.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
It's like a fart. A fart will make you laugh in whatever country you're in.
Just made me chuckle then. Just you, even just saying it just made me chuckle. Like,
fart.
Yeah, there, see? It's good stuff.
Yeah. There you go. So, Monty Python, I'm really looking forward to watching this, actually. Like, I was thinking, Monty Python. But the Life of Brian film is so funny. It's just, you know, we're going to use the word silly a lot, I'd imagine, in this episode.
Yeah.
It's Saturday morning. We're sat here. We're going to be watching this film. And we're just going to be giggling because it's silly.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also, as well, like you said, going back to like the point you made about the Ministry of Silly Walks sketch. So silly, so dumb, but so incredibly intelligent. Mm. Like, I know with this, again, as I said before, like, yeah, this was the last film of theirs that I got around to watching eventually, and probably the one I've seen the least, but I think it's probably their best one. Like, I love Holy Grail, but only because it's such a nostalgia thing for me. Like, as a kid, I loved that movie to pieces, but this is definitely a better movie and has so much better stuff to say. Like,
yeah, and whatever we say through this, I want it on record that we are not taking the mickey out of any kind of religion.
No.
This is a funny film based upon, like, you know, Jesus and...
Yeah, the ideas of just, you know, of what could happen to one person if the right stories are conflated, you know, things like that. It is a really good look at the idea of religion and things like that. It's very good.
Absolutely, like... pulled across the coals, didn't they, when it first came out? Huge.
I mean, you know, we won't go into it heaps here, but like, if you want to watch it, it's on YouTube. Go and look at the Archbishop, one of the Archbishops from London, like, goes on a debate show with Cleese.
Oh, I saw it literally the other day. It's bonkers.
It's they so hold fucking their own, great. Though, don't they? Mate, they really go in on it. And again, like, you know, we won't like paraphrase things here or anything. If you want to see it, it's really worth your time to go and find this thing, because it's such an amazing debate between the ideas of like sacrilege and like and satire. It's absolutely fucking brilliant. Brilliant stuff. Like, they're such clever guys. Like, when you see them, they're unfiltered, not being silly guys playing these ridiculous characters as themselves, trying to get their artistic points across. It's fucking great. Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
There's no denying that these dudes are highly intelligent.
Yeah. And changed everything. I would make the argument that they are to comedy what the Beatles were to music, in the way.
But you know what? I don't think there's many people that could actually say, "Oh, you're wrong," because they did open up the doors to lots of things. I think it's one of those situations where if you spoke to anyone that's made comedy films,
anyone
at some point, they would have watched Monty Python and thought, "Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I wouldn't mind stealing that idea."
Yeah, totally, man. So much owed to them, and breaking down wall like boundaries, I think, as well. Like, I don't think anyone would be game until they did that, like, you know, on such a grand stage, to openly not bash religion at all, but like to discuss the ideas of religion in that from a stance of taking a step back and not being you know, to look at it objectively, you know, that's a huge thing that they did in, like, in this country, like, massive thing.
But they also released the song, like, there's the Always Look on the Bright Side of Life song is from Life of Brian. Mm-hmm. And that did very well, from what I remember.
Yeah, it's such a great song. Like, my father-in-law, he absolutely loves it. He loves it, putting it on, like, just for, like, a sing-along.
But it's got lyrics in it, like, life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Like, it's really quite hard-hitting.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's done with a little dude on a crucifix.
Everyone. It's so upbeat, but it's so, like, not maybe not pessimistic, but it is that thing again of taking the step back and looking at it and just being like, you know, you're the speck of dust on a speck of dust floating in space. Like, you know, it's fucking amazing. There's a similar one in The Meaning of Life, and it's Eric Idle again singing it, and he, like, comes out the refrigerator in this woman's flat, and he's doing this little song and dance with his cane, and he's like taking her through the universe, and he's showing her just how meaningless everything is, because she's questioning, like, what's the meaning of life, and he's taking her through it. He's like giving all the scientific facts about just your place in the universe and just how, like, meaningless it is, but it's really upbeat, and it's just like,
isn't it something about sperm? Isn't there a song, and he goes into, like, a house that's full of family?
Yeah, that's in the opening. Is that what it is? That's in the opening of Meaning of Life.
Because I didn't like Meaning of Life. I found it was, I felt like it was too much.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous.
Like,
hey,
fat guy sat in a restaurant throwing up just so that he could eat more.
So that opening bit, though, you said with all the kids is amazing, because
What's the song?
It's God Loves Every Sperm. Oh. Is the thing, because the reason they have so many kids is because they're Catholic, so they won't use thing, and then they've got, like, really posh Protestant COE neighbours across the street, and they're like, oh, look at them, like, selling all their children to medical science and that, because they can't afford it. And he's like, I'm glad we're Protestant, I could go down to the shops, get a condom whenever I wanted.
So they like a bit of religion, Monty Python, then, I'd imagine.
They do. I guess if you're going to do satire, that's probably one of the, like, you know, what's the rule with comedy? Always punch up. Like, that's probably one of the biggest things you could punch up to is organized religion.
People don't like bullies in comedy, do they?
No, like, no, of course not. Yeah.
Look at that disabled kid.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Like, exactly. No, absolutely. Like, always punch up, man. And, like, you can't punch up any higher than God or, like, the idea of an organized religion. That's about as big as it gets.
Yeah.
So, wow. And there's a lot of good stuff in there for satire as well, as we're gonna see over the next, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours, whatever the film is. There's a lot of good material in there.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I wonder how, because I'm not, you're not religious, are you, Jimmy?
No. Baptized Roman Catholic, but not religious in the least.
Yeah, so, like, we can watch it objectively and just find fun in it, but I wonder what it would be like to watch this film with a belief system that is I mean, I don't remember the film that well, but I don't think it actually mocks people that believe.
No, not at all.
It's just a parallel world.
Yeah.
Because there is even a scene where Brian is saying something on the Mount.
Well, he's down from the Mount. Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount in the background. Right. He's turned up to see it, and he's just down the back. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's the point of a lot of the comedy based around it is the whole thing of just like, just you know, timing, basically. And like, you know, just how easy it is to manipulate events that happened so long ago and to put it down and say, well, it could have been this way, because it could have went any fucking way. Like,
so I've got a quote in my head, right? There's one quote that I think is the most famous quote from this film. I want to say one quote, go.
He's not a Messiah, he's a very naughty boy. Yeah. That's the one, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah. Like, it's unbelievable how much I use that phrase quite a lot. He's not the Messiah, he's just a very naughty boy. I just think it's so funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. And it's been so long since I've seen this. That Sermon on the Mount part and the when he joins the there's the terrorist group that he joins, and
the People's Front of Judea.
Yeah, but they can't decide on a name because they want and they can't decide on how it should be initialized and stuff. Like, that is so funny. Like, yeah. That is really funny that no one can agree, like, on what they want to call themselves. And it's all just the same thing, just kind of changed about, like...
But on that note of it's so clever, this is where... But what have the Romans done for us come from, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And again, that is so funny because, well, what have they done for us? Roads,
schools.
Oh, do you know what? I'm really excited about
same,
seeing it.
Same. When do you think would have been the first time that you would have seen this? Like,
I don't think I was that young. I think I would have been. I think I would have chosen to watch it. It wouldn't have been one that my parents would sat down and watch, and I just happened to see. I think it would have been. I don't know. If I'm going to be honest, I don't know.
I would say similar, like probably high school or something like that. And then I was never too much into it. But as I got older, I was like, oh, this is very, very fucking good, like very clever. Yeah. So I'm very keen to watch it again. Because as I say, there's only really those three things off the top of my head that I can remember. And nice little fact about this as well, George Harrison funded this film. He's in it in a little cameo.
Did he really? Well,
yeah. I'll point him out when he comes up.
Yeah, please do. I did not know that.
Which is just fucking sick that Harrison was like, yeah, I'll give you guys the money to make this. Like,
I do remember that just before the he's not the Messiah, it's a very naughty boy phrase, there is a nude lady running around, which I remember from being quite young. So
you maybe a bit earlier than what you thought.
Yeah, maybe a bit earlier. I remember that. I remember that nude lady running around going like, oh, she's got no clothes on. Naughty.
I can never, like, I can remember most of their names, but I can never remember the name of the one who passed away, who plays Brian.
So there was Eric Idle, Terry Gilliam, John Cleese, Michael Palin.
Terry Jones.
That's it, isn't it?
No, and there's the guy who plays Brian who has now passed away, and I can never, and he plays King Arthur. He died in the 90s. He was like massive alcoholic, and that was what killed him, I think, in the end. God, what was his name? I can't remember. I mean, we're about to watch the movie. I can never remember his name, but I remember there's the bit where he comes out on the balcony and he's naked, and he's got a pretty impressive member on him. He's doing all right for himself. I remember that.
So I remember the nudie woman. You remember the big willy.
Well, I was very confused.
Well, I for one cannot wait to see Jimmy put a pillow on his lap for that scene. So shall we crack on with the movie?
Yeah, I think we should. I'm really looking forward to this, man.
Yeah, me too. All right, cool. Let's put it on then.
Sick.
See you on the other side.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now you listen here. He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
Judean People's Front. For the People's Front of Judea.
I'm not the Messiah. Will you please listen? I am not the Messiah. Do you understand? Honestly.
Only the true Messiah denies his divinity.
What? Well, what sort of chance does that give me? All right, I am the Messiah.
He is the Messiah.
Now... fuck off!
What have the Romans ever done for us?
And we're back in the room. We finished the film.
Oh, it was good, wasn't it?
Man, that was so, so fucking good. So, so fucking good. Honestly, that... like, that could have been made today. you know, in terms of the jokes and everything like that, like the humor of it.
We mentioned in the intro how clever it was, and we were saying how clever it was based upon our very limited memory of it.
Yeah.
Having watched it back, it's beyond...
Yeah.
Beyond the cleverness that we thought it could be.
Just insane. Absolutely insane that they put that out in 1979. Like, we were trying to remember what year it was, and then we sort of watched to the end credits there for the copyright. And yeah, 1979, that is absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, I think my mind is blown a little bit.
Seriously, that you could be that ahead of the game.
Well, there's that whole section about the chap who wants to identify as a woman because he wants to have a child, and then someone laughs at him and someone says, no, no, we need to support him because if that's what he believes he wants to do, we need to be on board with that. And someone says, well, that's ridiculous. He can't have a child. He's a man.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to be a woman.
Yeah, but also as well, there's a really lovely bit that also as well, he wants to be a woman, but he's also saying, it's my right as a man.
Yeah.
To be a woman, which is just hilarious.
And that's 1979.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Madness. But the whole film itself was just entertaining from start to finish.
Oh, man. It there's just so much good stuff in there. Like, you know, like that, again, with that debate they had there about, like, gender and sexuality and stuff. And then, but also as well, like, that same group, the, I can never remember what their fucking name is. Is it?
Judean People's Front, or the People's Front of Judea.
Yeah, there's all the three different ones. And, like, you know, their whole thing is about overthrowing the system and, you know, the terrorists, and they're going to do all this stuff, but, like, they don't actually do fuck all about anything except, like, hold these little meetings. And, you know, and they're against the, like, the gladiators. They're there protesting it, but they're actually buying snacks and watching the protest, like, you know, watching the gladiators fight. And when the slave wins, they're just like, yeah, way to go, brother, just like... Like, that elitism of intellectuals has never changed. And, like, that it's still so bang on today. So many people, no clue what they're talking about, but wanting to act like they're on the right side of history.
But if you watch that, you can look at all those clever jokes. But also, there's just some very simple comic jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the chap that's about to get defeated by the gladiator, but rather than fight him, he runs around in circles until the gladiator gives up and has, quote... a cardiac arrest. I mean, what Romans knew the phrase cardiac arrest? Like,
when he paints the slogans on the wall, and the centurions find him, and they're like twisting his ear, and it's like he's like the school, like, you know, the old school teachers and that, and being like, you know, teaching the Latin, just like, now conjugate the verb.
and then you know, this is where Monty Python is brilliant, because that's the joke. Like, he's spelling it wrong on the wall, someone's correcting him, and Monty Python is very good at going, here's a joke, look at this is funny. But what they do that's so beautiful is they then just add something to the end of it that makes it insanely funny. And in that instance, they go, now, write that out 100 times.
Yeah.
And that's what Monty Python does that's so incredibly clever. They send you on this comedic journey and then go... and have a little bit extra just for fun.
Yeah, and then as well, and then if you want to dig into it, then there's like some good stuff in there about, you know, just how silly it is, like schooling, like punishment in schools, like back then, like to do that. They're just making fun of all that as well. Like, there's so many layers to it all.
I think the layers thing is, I'm genuinely blown away by how funny that was.
Seriously, and like you said, with the silliness, like there's a part at the end when the somewhat Nazi-esque people, like the
People's Front of Judea.
Thank you.
Or the Judean People's Front. I can't remember which one it was.
Which one it is.
Do you mean the one that rocked up with the Hitler
tashes? Yeah, and they have Star of Davids on their helmets, but they've put little dashes on the end of it, so they kind of look a bit swastika-esque as well. So they roll up, and like the Romans who are crucifying everyone, they're running off, and the bloke who was like leading all the people to be crucified, who was this real hard ass, he's running off and his trousers fall down. And he's pulling them up. It's so fucking stupid. Like, but it's a really good little visual gag.
But there's also the, you know, in our Hitchhiker's Guide, we talked about the Vogons and how everything's very officious. They got to fill it out by forms. They kind of did that in this as well, didn't they?
Oh yeah.
They walked up and they said, "We are not the when Brian's on the crucifix and about to die, and they're like, "We're here, Brian. We're here for you, but we're not the
rescue committee.
They'll be coming later,
like, and we would like to read you this prepared statement on the behalf of
it's
us."
It's so good. And also, like, set-wise, visually...
Looks great. It looks brilliant.
I don't think it looked that dated.
No, so it was all filmed in Tunisia. I was having a look in the credits. They had all the teams out there. So that's where it was all filmed. So I'm sure they would have just been adding maybe little bits to the architecture that was already there.
And I was amazed at how much of that I remembered. I haven't seen that for so long. And I knew what line was coming next. I knew what song was coming next.
You were on it, man. You were so on it.
It just, it obviously hit me hard when I watched this.
Because
there's some moments in that which is just pure joy.
Mate, I was the opposite. Like I said at the beginning, there was the three sort of key parts I could remember. There was a couple of bits come back as we watched them, but for the most part, I was almost watching this, like, for the first time again. Like, when Brian jumps out the window and he lands in an alien spaceship and takes off.
Oh, you didn't remember that?
Completely forgot that happened. Like, had no idea about that. We had a great little joke in there as well.
But I think having that weirdness, like, we're watching this whole thing that's supposed to be set in, the Middle East.
Yeah.
And then having these weird... space characters flying around in a spaceship being shot at.
I would also say that, you know, like, I think, you know, not to put words in their mouth, but to me, saying that, if you're going to talk about a giant man in the sky and say that's real, then you might as well believe that could happen as well.
And I'd imagine there's something about that. I think they would have gone.
And the fact that they're being shot at as well and being chased, like, the whole film is about prejudice and oppression and things like that. The aliens are then being chased and oppressed by someone else. Obviously, you don't know what's happened or what they've done. But I was watching and being like, yeah, so it wouldn't matter where the fuck you would go in the world, in the galaxy or the universe, there is always going to be this oppression and prejudice based off of, like, different opinions on things.
But one bit that stuck out to me was when they first realised that they wanted to follow him, but they couldn't work out why.
Why? That's the best... Like, so when he's going down that alley, and there's all these fucking crazy people preaching, and then it gets to, was it Michael Palin? And he's talking about, like, the dad's sitting something down on the corner, like,
just talking bollocks.
Yeah, just nonsense. And like, that was hilarious. Then Brian gets up to do his bit. He's really fucking bad at it, and everyone's treating it like a stand-up bit, like a fucking improv open mic. And they're like, "Ah, you're fucking, he's making up, he's going, you stink." And then he just says that bit of bullshit, so the Romans just think he's a preacher and, like, just keep going. And he just sort of ends it without finishing the story, and they're all like, "But then what happens?" It's like, he's got a secret. And it's that thing of not knowing. They have to have the unknown explained, and that's what makes them want to follow him, which is exactly what, you know, religion and things like that are. And faith is having the unknown explained to you. It's so fucking clever. And he's telling them to fuck off, and they're like, "How should we fuck off?"
Yeah, I think the whole it's so clever is what I found mind-blowing, really.
Yeah.
It's not clever in a, "Oh, let's watch this film, it's old school, look at this old humour." It's clever in a way that sits up today, and I think anyone could watch it. I reckon you could watch this in 20 years' time and still be like, "Yeah, that's really clever," because it was relevant to today.
Completely. There were so many points in it relevant, like the thing of, you know, again with the schools, like education being failing, or the thing of people, you know, wanting to be on this right side of history but not actually going about and doing anything to make any change. Like, they have the meetings, they do the minutes, they have this supposed goal and these things that they want to do, but they don't actually go out and, you know, fucking do anything about it to make the change happen. There's so many things, and the whole thing of just religion in itself is really starting to come back now, like the I think issues that it can cause, like the negative side effects of religion. Yeah, when Brian's at the end there and he's literally saying to people from his window, well, not the end, but towards the end, and he's saying to them, you know, you're all individuals, you need to figure this out for yourselves. Yeah. And they're going, yes, tell us how. Yeah. Like, that's exactly it.
Like, but also in another way, this film was like ahead of its time when it first came out, because a lot of the time, and I'm going to get a bit crass here, just boobies. There wasn't boobies in it because they were covered up by her hair. However, there was female genitalia, but there was also male genitalia.
Mm.
And nowadays, you generally will see boobs in a film. You won't ever see a cock.
It's always
like, get your boobs out, but like, you know, we won't show you them. But in this, they were like, yep, there was full frontal male nudity.
Yeah, several times. Like, because Terry Jones as well, when he's the crazy guy living in a hole,
yeah,
he jumps up and he's like, the whole butcher shop's hanging out there as well.
Butcher shop.
You said you were being crass.
But I just, again, like, you know, don't get me wrong. I appreciate that kind of level of, like, the plateau of the fact that women and men can have genitals on display in a film.
Yeah, and nothing wrong with it.
No.
Like, not a goddamn thing wrong with it. And I wouldn't be surprised as well if they put that in there to upset, you know, like, Christian censors and stuff for the films. Wouldn't surprise me in the least that they would put that in there for them to say, well, that's obscene. And it's like, well, no, it's the fucking bodies that God made. Like,
do you think that they, when they made that, they made it to upset people?
No, not to upset. I think they made it I mean, obviously I was not alive in England in the 70s, but I'm sure...
You weren't alive anywhere.
No, it wasn't even a twinkle in my father's eye. Like, I would say that, you know, obviously religious fervor was probably a lot stronger back then than it is today. But again, like I was saying before, it's definitely fucking coming back in a big way at the minute. But, like, much stronger back then. And I would say that they were probably worried it was a protest. But the message of the film is equality, be the individual and respect other people's individuality and figure this shit out yourself. And yes, I will put my phone on silent. Sorry about that.
Jimmy's popular. Basically, it's his mum saying, come home for tea.
I've finished your washing. But yeah, like, no, like, would you agree? I think that, like, that film is, the message very much is about individuality, respecting other people's individuality.
And also be, isn't one of the Ten Commandments, don't follow a false icon?
Yeah, don't worship false idols.
Idols, sorry. But yeah, I think you could, I mean, it's one of those films where you could read anything into it.
There's a thousand ways. Yeah.
You know, you could see it as a very, like, ham-fisted poke at religion. You could see it as a clever metaphor for religion. You could see it as whatever you want to see it. I see it as just a nice, funny film.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But yeah, as we were saying, a thousand different ways that you could cut and slice this and look into it. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that this, even now, to be watched today, there's still some very important points that you could take from this movie.
Well, I think what it did is, and we chatted about it during the film, I'll go back to that bit about the chap wanting to identify as a woman.
Mm.
Now, that's something that, growing up, was never discussed. And yet they're willing to put it into a film in well, let's say the 80s.
Yeah.
Keep it safe. That was a film in the 80s talking about literally having four people sat discussing the fact that one man wanted to identify as a woman.
Mm.
Now, nowadays, that's a conversation that is out there.
Mm,
It's common knowledge, as it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I made the point watching the film that, like, you know, I think that conversation has probably at some levels always been sort of out there and in some ways understood as well, whereas now it's very weaponized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas back then it's really interesting because back then it was just them going, this needs to be said, or this is something we're going to put in this film and put it out there into the public forum. And I'd imagine a lot of people back then would have watched that and gone, oh, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But watching it back with modern day eyes, you're like, oh, yeah. You're saying that shit.
Yeah, and super forward thinking. But I think as well, there's even a joke in it again, in the way that, you know, because there's the sexism in there in the film is fantastic, the way that they're taking the piss out of it, like where the women can't go to the stoning.
Yeah.
So they dress up as men and buy beards to go, and everyone kind of knows it. It's an open secret, and everyone gets on with it. But then, like, the when Eric Idle's character is saying, I want to be a woman, he's saying, it's my right as a man, and no one is saying anything about a woman becoming a man.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a joke there for sure as well about, like, this, like, just, like, rampant sexism, patriarchy, especially in religion. Like, it's so fucking good. And that stoning scene is incredible as well, when they don't even know who to stone because everyone's saying fucking...
woman.
But then and everyone's what's the word they're not, what's the blasphemy that they're saying?
Jehovah.
And he's like, no, yeah, and he's like, we're gonna stone because he's saying Jehovah. Boom, hit, and he gets hit in the back of the head. It's like, well, you said it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, no one's allowed to stone anyone till I blow this whistle. Like, it's fucking incredible.
I mean, it truly was a brilliant film.
Amazing. Absolutely, and, amazing, know,
I'm very, very glad that we decided to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and if you're listening or watching this and either haven't seen this film, and either haven't seen this film or haven't seen it in a while, my God, go grab it, stream it, just fucking whatever, get it and watch it because it is really, really good. Really good.
Thoroughly enjoyable. Yeah. So, there concludes our Life of Brian episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's anything left to say about that.
Thank you so much for tuning in. As I always like the fact that we say tuning in.
Yeah.
I have like visions of people going, oh, Rich and Jimmy are on the wireless. Quick. Tune in.
You're listening to 107.
But thank you so much for downloading. Or don't forget, we are filming this. So
hello.
If you're watching this on YouTube, hello.
Sorry that you lost some video for this one.
You can see that Jimmy lost a fight to a bottle of bleach.
Yeah. I walked in the door and Rich was just like, nah, and just like threw bleach in my face.
I'm used to it. He's such a dirty beast.
He's a bit of a jokester, old Rich.
So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching if you've watched.
As always. And if you want to follow us on any of the socials, we're at on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's just at Rich and Jimmy. If you want to drop us an email with some film recommendations or just to say hi, it's Rich and Jimmy Watch a Film, all one word, @gmail.com. That's pretty much it for getting in touch with us or following us, but any of that stuff really helps us out, so yeah. We'd appreciate it.
One thing that did come up through that film is there was a scene, just harking back to the fact that they didn't know whether to support them because of the shoe, or there's that lady who had the gourd.
The gourd.
Now, if you're a fan of gourds, you may notice this little gourd here, which has been lovingly crafted by my sister Lou. Quite so if you're on YouTube and you can see it, there it is. There you go. It's just a little plug there for my sister. Like, if you ever want a Nightmare Before Christmas gourd, they are fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
This episode has been sponsored by Lou's Gourds. Buy us dinner, Lou.
Buy us dinner again. It's been a while.
Right, thank you so much for listening, and take care. Look after yourselves. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Man, we forgot the quote. We always got to end on a quote.
I mean, there's one, isn't there?
Go on.
He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. That's it's got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be.
So as you go in life, just remember that guy that you're crushing on, he's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
Yeah. Stay humble.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.